I want for our evening meditation to turn your attention to the 33rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. The first verse reads, "Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled, and when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. And your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar. As the running to and fro of locusts, shall he run upon them. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Behold, their valiant ones shall cry without, the ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highways shall lie waste, the wayfaring man ceaseth. He hath broken the covenant. He hath despised the cities. He regardeth no man. The earth mourneth and languisheth. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. Ye shall conceive chaff, ye shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you, and the people shall be as the burnings of lime. As thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Hear, ye that are far off, what have I done? And ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us. Thy tacklings are loosed. They could not well strengthen their mast. They could not spread the sail. Then is the prey of a great spoil divided. The lame take the prey, and the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity." Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. The content of this chapter brings us to the reign of King Hezekiah, and in particular to the threat that was made both against him and the city of Jerusalem by the Assyrians. It was a bold threat to utterly destroy the city if they would not surrender. In the midst of this perplexity, King Hezekiah turned to the Lord. He prayed, casting his perplexity, casting his burden, casting his fear upon the Lord. This chapter, chapter 33, was the Lord's answer in the time of his perplexity and in the time of Jerusalem's peril. It is a passage of Scripture and indeed an event that travels down through the corridors of time to address the present difficulty that we find ourselves facing in threat of the coronavirus pandemic. It has gripped the world with fear and panic. It has brought nations to a standstill, and it has the potential to ruin the strongest. If only Hezekiah's action on that occasion, all those years previous, was replicated by leaders and people today, and especially by Christians. In the 37th chapter in verse 1, we read these words, "And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord." He had the opportunity, he had the access to the house of God to seek the Lord. But alas, today, that opportunity and that access to the public means of grace has been removed from us. But we can still seek the Lord. And that is the great need. Hezekiah prayed, and the people along with him prayed, "O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble." What a prayer. And that's a prayer that we need to pray in these days in which we live and find ourselves. This 33rd chapter contains three main characteristics, three main avenues for consideration. First of all, it identifies a time of trouble. There it is in the very wording of their prayer. "Be our salvation also in the time of trouble." The trouble referred to was the threat of invasion by the Assyrian army, by King Sennacherib. A vast army, numerous army, seemingly undefeatable. Other nations had fallen in the course, in the path of the advance of the Assyrian army. They trod down all who stood in their way. Their advance caused great impoverishment. It's alluded to in verse 8, "The highways lie waste, the wayfaring man ceaseth." Great impoverishment. People afraid to travel, people afraid to go outdoors, people afraid to make one journey, a journey from one place to the other, because of this great threat that was all around them. Their advance brought great sorrow. Verse 9, "The earth mourneth and languisheth." It also instilled alarm and anxiety and panic. Verse 14, we read, "The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites." Life as they knew it was turned on its head. Jerusalem was under siege. The threat had been issued. If they would not surrender, they would be destroyed utterly. The city would be razed to the ground, and the people would be slaughtered. It was a time of trouble. Life as they knew it had been turned on its head. And are we not facing a time of trouble? Can we not say today that life as we have known it is no more? It's literally turned on its head. We are witnessing this time of great trouble that is sweeping across the world and taking hold of our own nation. But this chapter not only refers to a time of trouble, it identifies also the thought of terror. The prophet Isaiah says something that is truly quite astonishing. In verse number 18, he says, "Thine heart shall meditate terror." Thine heart shall meditate terror. These words relate to the transgressors, to the sinners who dwelt in Zion, in the city of Jerusalem. They are referred to as the hypocrites, those who lived within the very vicinity of God's house, who had daily access to the house of God, who were familiar with the sounds of the temple in Jerusalem, and yet their hearts were not right with God. And when they saw the Assyrians surrounding the city of Jerusalem, besieging the city, preparing to set fire, and when these people within realized that they had no escape, that their former hope of an alliance with Egypt was now gone, they were now gripped with fear. They became distracted in their mind and agitated in their hearts. Their hearts were full of anxiety, so that they asked the question in verse 14, "Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings?" Prior to this time, they gave no concern, they gave no thought to eternity. But when they see the army of the Assyrians, when they see them with their own eyes, when they see the horses and the cavalry, and they see the foot soldiers and the chariots, when they see the army of the Assyrians surrounding the city, it is then that their hearts are gripped with fear and with panic. And they were made to meditate terror. Just as the prophet said, "Thine heart shall meditate terror." Their previous despising of the message of God, the message that warned them of judgment upon sin and transgression of God's law, that previous despising, that previous contempt was rapidly replaced with terror of mind when they saw the reality of approaching judgment. And is it not so tonight that fear has taken hold of this world? It has taken hold of our nation. And the gods which people previously worshipped are no more. The gods of pleasure, the gods of technology, the god of money, the god of sport, the god of entertainment, everything that people have lived for and placed their hope in and centered their life upon, those things are gone. And fear has gripped the world and taken hold of our nation. It is a microcosm of what will take place at the end of this age, if indeed we may be at the end of this age in reality. Our Lord Jesus said concerning the great truth of his return to this earth, he said, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 25 through to 27. Men's hearts failing them for fear. And when fear takes hold of the heart, suddenly all those other things that people's lives centered upon, those things become meaningless. They lose their value. They lose their appeal. And men realize that there is something more that they must consider. That's what happened in Hezekiah's time. That's what took place in the city of Jerusalem, in particular with those whose hearts were not right with God, who had lived on the doorstep of the temple and yet had neglected the Lord all the days of their life. And now, when they are faced with the reality and the certainty of death, their hearts are gripped with fear. What a contrast with those who know the Lord. They can say, like David in the 23rd Psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." What a difference. The thought of terror had gripped the heart. But I want you to notice here, in conclusion, the treasure of those who trust the Lord. The treasure of those who trust in the Lord. This chapter, while setting out the trouble that surrounded Jerusalem, and while it identifies the terror that filled the hearts of those who were not right with God, this chapter is also a treasury of rich and precious promises for those who trusted in the Lord. It was a treasury for those people then in the city of Jerusalem in the day of Hezekiah, whose hearts were following the Lord, loving Him, worshipping Him, trusting Him. The Lord, through His servant Isaiah, gives them tremendous assurance, tremendous promise, tremendous comfort and hope in the midst of all that they were experiencing. The hypocrites ask the question in verse 14, "Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings?" In other words, who will survive this? And the Lord gives the answer in verse 15. "He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure." What a promise. The promise of the Lord's defence. The promise of the Lord to defend His people, those who trusted in Him, to defend them from the attack of the Assyrians, from the threat of the Assyrians, to defend them and to deliver them. Verse 20, "Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. The Lord promised to defend his people and to deliver them, and all the consequences of siege and invasion would not be experienced. Verse 24, and the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. Months of siege would have brought famine and drought, and with it disease and infirmity and death. But the Lord says, I will defend my people. I will deliver my people. And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. What a promise this is. This is a treasury of rich and precious promises to those who trusted in the Lord. And the Lord promises that he himself will rise up on behalf of his people. Verse 10, now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. The Lord himself is the defense of his people. Rich promises that were given in response to a humble and contrite request. It's recorded there in verse 2. O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. They sought the Lord, and the Lord heard, and the Lord gave a gracious answer. The Lord gave a gracious answer. Chapter 37, verse 33, Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it by the way that he came. By the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. The Lord gives this promise to his people because they sought him. What a lesson for today. What a parallel for today. It's true spiritually. It is true eternally. If we are to be delivered, then we must seek the Lord. We must call upon him. We must cast ourselves upon his grace and his mercy. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And perhaps someone listening to this message in the midst of all the panic and the chaos, the fear, the terror that is enveloping this world, the Lord is saying to you, call on to me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord is coming. We don't know the day or the hour when he will return. Perhaps it is soon. Perhaps these are but some of the signs that are pointing us to the near return of our Lord Jesus Christ. You must be ready. You must be prepared. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That great promise of deliverance, the Lord said, I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And while that deliverance, in a sense, was temporal and a physical deliverance of Hezekiah and the people at that time, the Lord says it was because of the sake of David. It was for the sake of David. And the word David there in the Hebrew language means beloved. And if we lift that out of the physical and the temporal setting, and we apply it to the spiritual and the eternal setting, our eternal salvation comes to us on account of the beloved one, God's dear Son. And because he went to the cross of Calvary and laid down his life a ransom for many, therefore there is salvation for all who will trust in him. Trust in him today. Call upon the Lord and thou shalt be saved. But there's also an application for the present circumstances in which we find ourselves with this virus. We must acknowledge God. We must acknowledge him. In fact, that is brought out in this text here, verse 13. Ye that are afar off, what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. Acknowledge me. This is God's message to the nation, to our leaders, to the people. Facing this virus and all of its solemn and serious and deadly consequences, our first priority must be to acknowledge God, to acknowledge him. And the Bible says, if we acknowledge him, then he shall direct our paths. May the Lord give us grace, and may the Lord give us faith to trust him in this dark and difficult time. May his word be blessed to all of our hearts. Amen.